equally dope. You won't believe the kind of shit that comes out of this kid's throat. He's not your everyday on the block. He knows how to work with wood. He's got making
wigs at the top. Welcome into the zone. I was looking for something there. Sorry it took me so long to get the mics open. I appreciate you. Matty T, take the locks off the mics.
Come on, Matty T.
10:08. Thanks for being with us. It is Wednesday. Which, Pat, what's happened? What happens on Wednesday?
Well, we get two things, my man. First, it's a whacked out Wednesday.
More importantly.
Wednesdays with Wally is presented by Deltec Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at chenal.com.
All right. The elections have come to an end.
Boo! I want more.
It's too late to vote?
Yeah. He didn't miss anything. And frankly, I'm going to guess that the way it all shook out, you couldn't have impacted much of it anyway. So,
well, there was that one race down in southern Arkansas.
Well,
I think you could have had an impact, Wally.
Anyway. Yeah, he can't vote on that one. Fourth district? Well, he can't do it.
He's got an absentee ballot.
So, you know what I was thinking about, and I want to congratulate all the winners yesterday. We have become a very red state after yesterday. But, Matty T, all songs with red in the title. I don't even know if there are any. But
Red Wine.
Red Wine, that's a good one. I might have to play that over and over again.
Is there a song called Red Roses? Or is that a nursery rhyme? That's what I'm thinking of.
I think roses are red. Violets are blue. The Democrats got murdered. What about you?
I didn't get murdered, but boy, it was.
Did everybody you vote for win?
Oh, we got it. We got a plethora of red songs.
I haven't checked.
I did an alcohol write-in vote that they would have to drop off a case of beer at my house every week, but that didn't go through. It's a bummer. We got a plethora of red songs. You said,
Or plethora.
I prefer that.
Speaking of write-in votes, did you see what happened in Alabama? I'm surprised that hasn't happened in Arkansas. Maybe I asked Walt. Well, we're going to Iowa State to see the mayor, and you know why they call him the mayor.
Yes, I do.
Fred Hoiberg, mm-hmm. Because, just to give a little background, everybody, Justin and I and a couple other guys are going to see the Hogs play Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to
have a couple write-in votes.
Yeah.
For mayor.
Yeah, probably more
when
than
he played.
Yeah.
90-something.
He's the most popular guy ever. He's an Ames native. Could have been Harrison Barnes, but he decided to go to North Carolina.
Could have been
Doug McDermott, but he decided to go to Creighton.
I wonder, what was that whole deal around? Well, I know his father was the coach at Creighton, but did he get offered by Iowa State?
I'm sure he did. He was.
Well, anyway, long story short, someone voted for Amari Cooper for the governor of Alabama. So
yes, and not surprising.
There's that, and I guess my question was, I can't recall here in the state if that's ever happened. Wally, has anyone ever thrown a vote for, let's say, Corliss Williamson or Lance Allworth?
That would be a good guy. Corliss could definitely be governor,
right? Lance, what about
the governor,
Clyde Smackover Scott? You'd think some of these
I
guys.
I tried to vote for Charles Barkley for president once, and they wouldn't let me.
Oh, God.
There's a guy who swore he was going to vote for or run for Alabama governor at some point, and he's finally, this last year, he has been a resident long enough or whatever. I can't remember what the deal was, but he is cleared to actually run if he chose to now, but I think he's probably figured out that maybe that's not such a hot idea. And by the way, mm-hmm. He's got a pretty big pulpit to be able to work off of, and TNT's given him a lot of latitude over the last few years to say what he wants about issues that are either basketball-related or social or otherwise.
And I'm going to bet it pays more than being governor of Alabama.
There is no doubt about that, Wally. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he says whatever he wants. What do you think, off the top of your head, the best athlete politician? The best political athlete. And I'm not talking about anything other than on the field.
Wasn't there a Bradley?
Yeah, Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley.
That was the first guy that always
he's
comes
to mind.
He's
going to be the best.
Yeah,
was he your uncle?
No, we didn't. That bloodline went
no, Pat
in
Bradley
two
was his
directions.
Uncle.
Yeah, I know. Stop it.
She is too.
She is an LPGA Hall of Famer. What about Kevin Johnson, the mayor of Sacramento?
Oh, he's a big fan. He's
Dave old. Bing, yeah. The mayor of Detroit.
Well, I can say this about Kevin Johnson, old number 7. He's been in the zone before, which is more than I can say for Bill Bradley or Pat Bradley or anybody else.
Although, was it President Ford? Was he an offensive lineman for Michigan?
Yeah.
He's a Michigan man.
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them.
H.W. played ball back in the day.
H.W.?
H.W. Bush.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He was a baseball guy?
No, football.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't look like a football guy to me.
Ronald Reagan played a football player once.
It's true. He did. The Gipper.
What about
the Gipper.
Jesse the Body Ventura?
He was not. He's an athlete. He never played a sport.
He's an athlete.
He's a lot better wrestler than he was governor.
I want to say this about Mark Pryor, who You know, we gotten to know his father a little bit in doing some stuff up at the Pryor Center, which is a great facility. If you ever get a chance to throw some money their way, it's certainly a worthy cause. They're helping to preserve our history here in the state of Arkansas, both oral and visual. Or I guess is that how they say it? Oral and visual history. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a great facility.
Exactly,
been up there a few times, and they're actually expanding the facility on the square in Fayetteville where they can continue to gather stories, and you can actually go in. Like, I could take my father here, Wally. Let's just say Wally's my father, for example, or my big brother, or my little brother, whatever. And I want to get his story on tape, so I could go in.
Right.
They're going to have these things set up where you can go in, and you'll walk out with a CD or a DVD rather of the interview, so you can like sort of preserve your own family history. I would love to sit down. I got to get with Pete. My grandfather served in World War II. He's got a great long family history. I need to sit down before he gets too much further along the way. Anyway,
he probably won't talk about it.
What I was going to say about the Pryors, yes, he will. Because we've talked about it a little bit. We just haven't, and he'll get into it. I mean, it's not something he offers, but he's open to questions. Because my oldest son has been very curious about it. He's a big war buff. He watches his History Channel, whatever. Anyway, but I was thinking about this. If you're Mark Pryor, it didn't really occur to me, and I was here when he got elected, but you served 12 years as a senator, and then you wake up the next day and it's over, and it's like he got voted out. And so I was thinking, it'd be like, I've been here almost 12 years at the Buzz, and I'm thinking, like, tomorrow somebody walks in and says, sorry bro, you've been voted out and you don't get to do your show anymore. And it's something that you're passionate about, it's something you show up to and you do every day, or at least most days, or however many days typical politicians work. But then it's all of a sudden, it's like, sorry bro, thanks for the 12 years, you're out, we got somebody else to do your job for you. I mean, it happens in businesses all over It happens in businesses all over the world all the time. But it's just kind of weird. I'm thinking, if I did the same thing for 12 years and I didn't want to leave there, and all of a sudden somebody came in and said, sorry.
Well, you could tell how emotional he was in his speech. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he was very emotional. I don't know if this will happen, but I did read that possibly President Obama may appoint him to Attorney General.
Really?
That's news on the surface now. Mm. I'm not...
on the surface of what?
Surface of the ground.
Mm.
It's D.C. news, D.C. politics.
Oh, wow.
But there's so many things, and you're right about that. Obviously, his whole family's been in for so long.
I was thinking, too, as I watched the...
But there's so many things he can do, though. The connections he's made.
No question.
So many great things he can do for the folks.
As I was looking up there and I saw David Pryor, I thought, I think you could probably still get elected if you ran today.
Who knows if he'd want to
these days. I'm going to guess he doesn't probably want to. He's had more than his share.
I got a chance to spend time with Senator Bozeman and Senator Pryor when I went to D.C. Boy, they're two gracious guys. I mean, just such nice.
Yeah.
There you go. Senator Bozeman was a former Razorback.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, because he had to have an ad canceled because he showed Razorback.
Oh, that's
stuff,
right.
Did he really?
IMG wanted to cut. Tuck says Seattle Seahawks receiver Steve Largent. Who was
it? Okay.
He was stumping for somebody at the state capitol several years ago.
In Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was here with, what's the guy's name? Cannot think, but I can see his face. Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham.
Yes.
How about one of the more recent ones? I remember last year, Vitaly Klitschko threw his hat into the political ring in Russia.
Well, until they, I mean.
I can't vote in that one.
Things in the Ukraine became somewhat unstable.
Yeah.
Ukraine?
Just after that.
Ukraine not weak.
Ukraine is not weak. Ukraine unstable. Not the same thing. Anyway, Wednesdays with Wally, we'll talk about a number of things today. Welcome back, Corliss Marshall, to the University of Arkansas sidelines. By the way, I have put in a request to talk to some people who you might want to talk to on the air about certain things hog-related, so stay tuned for more on that. We'll see what happens. Anyway, they made a big deal about punt returner because DJ Dean had one boneheaded gaffe in the game the other day. Then they put in a replacement, and all of a sudden he makes a boneheaded move, too. This in the UAB game, of course, a couple of weeks ago. And after watching last week's game, something was abundantly clear to me. You don't have a punt return issue. You have a kick return issue. And with all due respect to the young man they put back there to cover for Corliss Marshall, who can't seem to keep himself in the good graces of the coaching staff, whoever's back there ain't Corliss Marshall and isn't the answer. But it sounds like he will be back, and he will be the return man at kick returner, and maybe someday down the road punt returner, but probably not this season.
I thought Jared Cornelius did fine. He fielded two punts and returned them a total of 11 yards.
But I'm fine with DJ Dean, too. I don't think you have a real serious issue there. I think it was an overreaction, which is understandable because of all the issues you've had on special teams. You have a problem at kick returner because you don't have somebody who's an eager beaver to return the ball. And if you don't have somebody who is willing to get their head knocked off, they're not a very good kick returner, typically.
My biggest issue with DJ was that he liked to watch the ball bounce.
Well, there's that. All I know is I didn't feel like he cost them a game. There were some field position issues, though, for sure. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying he was perfect, but I do think that that's the kick return issue I certainly had a bigger issue with. The new four announced yesterday, and as we were talking about on the morning show, to some degree it is a bit irrelevant, although it does get you into the heads of...
But expected, though.
It is.
Looking back on how they voted the first week and how they voted this week, there's almost a sense of there's so much in the now. You know what I'm saying? It's what's going on, right? I know, and it's...
Well, what I like...
I don't believe what they say a lot, though, of what their criteria is.
The four gives you an idea into what their criteria is, though, and what their mentality is, though. And so somebody out of that group is going to play itself out. I mean, you know somebody's going to be out of the mix here
Oregon's
soon.
Oregon's going to be in, I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, I mean, if all four win out, they're all in, right?
No, I know, but Oregon will win out.
I don't feel very confident about that at all.
I do.
They're adamant about doing top 25, but really, once you get past the top 10, it's over. You got Mississippi with two losses at 11. They're not going to play their way back in.
What if Baylor goes undefeated the rest of the way? Baylor's a one-loss team. I don't know what Baylor has left to try to sell themselves to the voter.
Hey, by per Bovada in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. which we use a lot, Oregon's a new favorite to win the national championship.
Yeah, I saw that too.
9-2.
They only have one regular season game that's worth a crap.
That's what I'm saying, though.
No, but they have to beat Arizona State in the championship game.
No question. Yeah. No question. They're the new favorite, followed by Bama 5-1, Florida State 6-1, Mississippi State 7-1.
Which is all silly because the favorite should be TCU because they have the easiest road by far. They beat Kansas State this week.
They said to win the national championship, not to make college football playoff.
Okay, you're talking about the championship. Okay, well, if TCU gets in, they could cause some problems because they're dynamic offensively, because they're pretty good defensively.
That's why they say, just get me in the tournament. Yeah. That's all I want to get in the tournament.
What I think is going to come out of this, though, is TCU and the Big 12 folks are going to have to get together and figure out a way to get a championship game. And whether they petition to get a 5-against-5 divisional deal, or if they find two teams to add that are good or not good or indifferent, I don't care. You got to have a championship game because this is the year where you could have a one-loss team like TCU that is clearly impressive, that is talented as all get out, but because you don't have a championship game, you're going to be in the outside looking in.
If K-State beats TCU, though, how far do they jump up? I think they jump up in front of Alabama.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
I don't think they would do that.
Because their only loss was to Auburn.
Right, and it was narrow. It was at home. But
well, we can all agree that that may happen, but when December 7th rolls around, after Alabama has already beat who knows in the SEC?
Alabama could lose three more games.
They could.
They're going to LSU. They have Mississippi State at home. They have Auburn at home.
We know the Final Four is not this four.
Right. No, look, one of the SEC teams at minimum is going to eliminate itself. Maybe two. Maybe two of them will be out of the mix. So that definitely opens the door. My point is, though, if only one does and there are two left and Oregon's in and Florida State is in and TCU's five, they're going to freak out. And I'll tell you at this point, if you have a two-loss Alabama team and a two-loss or a TCU team on the outside looking in, I'm going to have my case made for me that there should be eight teams in the playoff.
Absolutely. That to me is the perfect number.
I agree, and I got into this with Barrett Salee last week, you'll remember, and Barrett made the point that absolutely not, you're rewarding mediocrity. I don't agree with that. When you play in the SEC, if you only have two losses in a regular season, that's not mediocrity. That's impressive.
This may be one of those years, though, and you may not see this happen again. I mean, how often do you think we're going to have three out of four teams, or four out of five SEC West teams in the top five, in the AP top five?
Almost never.
That's what I'm saying, though. So typically, I think most people will say, and I think Barrett was saying this, where most times in most years, you're not going to, like, teams 6, 7, 8, probably you will know that they're not anywhere near those top-tier teams.
But
it's just a unique year this year.
I don't agree with that. I think typically the eighth team in the country can beat the number one team in the country on a given day, on a neutral field. Absolutely. There's no question in my mind that could happen. Show me last year. Pull up the Final Eight from last season and tell me the number eight team last year couldn't have, in any scenario, have beaten Florida State. That's what's fun about
it. Okay. Certainly, 10 times, play 10 times. Could they beat them
they're
once?
They're only going to play
sure.
once.
Well, no. I don't mean that. I'm talking about... I don't consider that a competitive game.
No, I understand.
I'm talking about could they beat them 3 or 4 times out of 10. And I think if you look last year, there's a team I can make a case. Whoever finished
eighth.
Even
3 times out of 10? I don't know. I just don't know if that right
there
warrants
a chance, though.
A team. But some would argue that they had their chance.
Yeah.
They had their chance during the regular season to prove –
but if
that
you
they're
are
worthy
lo-
to get
but
in
But if
there.
the eight team is a two-loss SEC team and Florida State walks through a crappy schedule, or if a Big Ten team goes unscathed.
Typically, though, a two-loss SEC team, other than what happened to LSU, probably shouldn't deserve to get into a 14 playoff.
No, but they should get an 18 playoff, and they're good enough typically to get in.
Well, but they lost twice. They had their opportunity to prove during the year. That's true. That's the whole argument that we deal with
the
NCAA basketball.
Well, here's what's going to happen, though, Pat. They're going to be on the outside looking in, and a one-loss team from a much lesser conference is going to be on the inside. That's not fair to me, and that's unreasonable.
I agree 100%. I don't know how many times that's going to happen, though.
That's going to happen a lot, like this year, for example.
Well, for instance, next year, Ole Miss.
Are you telling me a two-loss Alabama team? Let's say Alabama loses one more game, and let's say for example, it's Mississippi State, okay? Mm-hmm. Two-loss Alabama team, and they're sitting at 8, which would be a very reasonable number, because if they lose, again, that's probably where they're falling to, at minimum, maybe further. But let's say that they sit at 2 losses and they end the season with 2 losses, go to a bowl game with 2 losses. Are you really going to tell me that they're not every bit as good as Oregon or TCU or just as deserving
this
as those
year.
Teams?
Yes.
Yes, but I think typically. Okay, so we just have to look back through the past 3 or 4 years. That's my case. I think I'm with Wally. Wall and I are of the opinion, and there is certainly an argument otherwise. You know what? This year, the answer would be 2 teams. Go back to the BCS formula, because there's only 2 undefeated teams playing in major conferences. This year, it's easy. If it were to end like this, it would be very simple. But the problem is you have 4. So if you're going to have 4, you're screwing 4.
If Mississippi State runs the table, yes, absolutely. I just don't know how it's always going to set up like this. There have been years where,
like I said, we'd have to look back at the old.
I mean, we had what, undefeated Alabama versus undefeated Notre Dame, right?
Yes.
That one. I mean, there was no...
Yeah, that was easy.
Notre Dame, yeah, right. Obviously
I mean,
didn't.
Nobody hated the BCS more than me. Nobody was more of a critic than I was, mostly because I like more games and more playoffs, as I've told you many times before. I enjoy the Sunday of the NFC and AFC championship games every bit as much, and maybe in some ways more, than I do the Super Bowl, because you have 2 games that mean everything, but you get 2 of them.
You know why I didn't oppose the BCS, Justin? It was better than the system they had before.
True.
It was just left up to a panel of coaches or a panel of sports writers, and you know, you could have a split or whatever. This was an actual playoff game, and it wasn't perfect, but it was better than just a bunch of guys voting.
True, but it wasn't as good as what we have now, and
no.
wouldn't be as good if we had 8, I think.
And I got to believe this is a 3-year test balloon to go to the optimum of 8.
Yep. Okay, you want the final?
Yeah, give me the final AP? 8 from last year. Yeah,
AP. That's Florida fine. State number 1.
The sports writers are the ones I truly trust.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones that actually watch the games.
Number 2.
Okay.
Michigan State number 3.
Okay.
South Carolina finished 4. Missouri finished 5. Oklahoma finished 6. Alabama finished 7.
How many losses did Oklahoma have?
Oklahoma finished 11-2.
Okay. And Alabama.
They beat Alabama.
They beat Alabama in the bowl game handily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Alabama finished 7th.
And who was 8?
8 was Clemson, and then Oregon, then UCF.
You can't. I mean, Clemson and Florida State. I mean, what was the game last year? What was the final score in that game? It was. I'll tell you right now. It was.
You can't take one game.
Close
though.
Game, 51-14.
So if but you can't take one game though during the regular season and use that, because if Alabama does run the table, you can point back to the 14-13.
Yeah, Clemson was playing a lot better at the end of the season than they were earlier in the year. Clemson won their bowl game. Anyway.
I think stands to really be on the outside looking in and deserves to be there. Notre Dame should have beat Florida State.
Yes, but they also got pushed to the limit by Navy last week.
Listen, they had their chance. Notre Dame will be a team where you look back and you say, you had your opportunities.
They have their opportunities. They're still going to play their way. They get Arizona State this week. They got 3 or 4 significant games. USC. They got a couple games that can absolutely help their way back up. I believe that.
I think this is one of the big differences in college and pro, and why pro coaches are more psychologists than college coaches. You don't get that letdown after a loss.
Yeah. You're right.
But you do. Alabama, they let down against Arkansas after losing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. Do you think if Notre Dame ends up 11-1, I mean, people are automatically given to sort of try to push them in anyway?
Oh, there's no question.
I think if they're 11-1, they're probably in. Unless something, I mean, it would take, I don't know. I just think they're going to be enough one-loss teams, and their only loss is going to be at Florida State on a controversial play. They have left ASU, Northwestern, Louisville, and at USC. I mean, they've got a couple of significant wins and a Louisville team that's above average.
I'm going to call my buddy. Me and Rugheeb are going to watch the game. You guys are invited because you make fun of them.
That's good. Well, you'll literally enjoy it, I'm sure.
I will.
Rayshon.
Morning.
How are you?
Hey, good stuff. Hey, wasn't Watts out of Oklahoma, wasn't he in a politician?
Yes.
Quarterback?
JC?
Uh-huh. And I got a couple questions. The one for Justin, what the heck happened to UCA, sir?
They got they turned the ball over 7 times, including 5 in the first half.
Man, where there's life, there's hope.
We hadn't seen a SmackDown like that since last night.
Yeah, I had to change the channel. I couldn't watch it no more.
No, I know. They got into a little role-playing game with the folks from Abilene Christian. Unfortunately, they were playing the Democrats, so it didn't go well.
Hey, the backup quarterback, is he going to be back this week?
Taylor Reed, not sure. He's been dealing with a minor foot injury, and well, minor because it's not my foot. I think they said he could go in an emergency situation. My guess is if he's not back this week, it'll be next week, and if he's not back next week, he may not play again. But the point is, he's going to be the expected starter for next season in his final year. So,
hey, Rayshon, why don't you do a double dip with UCA? We got football, last home game, and then we got hoops Saturday night.
I'm planning on it.
Okay, we'll see you there.
All right, buddy, I'll see you over there.
Hey, I got one more question. What program do you think further ahead right now, Tennessee in football or Arkansas? And I'll hang up and listen.
Whoa, Ollie. Tackle that one, buddy.
Football or basketball at Arkansas?
I didn't quite. No, he said Tennessee or Arkansas.
Oh, in football?
Yeah, Tennessee's improving.
I'm not sure.
But they've got a much easier schedule than Arkansas. Arkansas, look, they're in the West. Yeah. We all know that's incredibly tough. And then they got to play the top two teams from the East.
Yeah.
That's just that's bad scheduling.
They have a significantly better schedule. I do think they're both on an upward trend.
I know everyone's going to bash me for saying this.
Good. Say it.
But I would like to see us get rid of the East and West in football. Play just a random schedule each year, and then 1-2 plays for the SEC
Championship. Didn't make any sense yesterday.
How does it not make sense?
Because it's cyclical, and they don't need to do it in basketball either. And you're trying to get divisions put back in basketball, and you tell me you don't want
them
in football?
Because it's more beneficial for Arkansas to
exactly.
have.
Exactly.
But not for football.
But eventually it might be, Pat. It's cyclical. The East was better than the West forever.
As long as...
It's time to switch it to North-South.
I'm with you, Wiley. Let's do that. We want Missouri.
South Carolina, Tennessee.
Vanderbilt,
Kentucky, Arkansas. Missouri and A&M.
For the foreseeable future.
Good move, Wally.
For as long as we're going to be doing this and wanting to go to bowl games.
Don't make me the new commissioner.
We need to switch.
You only got to win 2 conference games.
We need to switch.
You only got to win 2 conference games to go to a bowl. Will you quit?
Well, we can't even. No, I don't want to go, okay, to Memphis. I want to go to the big boy bowl. You got me, brother?
Well, you better switch conferences then, not divisions. What's up, Charles? Charles gave up. See you
later, Charles.
Him off. Jeff.
Hey, guys. Now, I've got a question. Maybe a very smart question or maybe a very dumb question.
I'll be the judge.
But I thought,
well, then it's not for
maybe
us.
You know, and Wally, you guys could probably find out. Last night in the election in South Carolina, there was a guy named Tim Scott that won a senatorial race. And I'm wondering, I'm almost thinking this is the Tim Scott that played for Nolan, you know, kind of after national championship year, came in with that group, out of bail, and that whole group. I was wondering if anybody could confirm that, or if I'm just thinking out of my mind today.
What state?
Well,
no, because that would have been my year, and we didn't have anybody named Tim Scott.
Yeah, there was a Tim Scott that came in afterwards. What you guys were sure to remember. It's after you, Pat.
I'm sorry, there was no basketball before Pat Bradley.
Yeah, he was at a Little Rock Hall.
Certainly wasn't any 3-point shooting after Pat Bradley, I'll guarantee you that. But
it's a significant victory regardless of his connection to Arkansas because he's the first black man to win a Senate seat in South Carolina. So
I can all but guarantee.
Yeah, if you guys can confirm that or not, man, I'd appreciate it. He was only there like a year or two.
Not him. He went to Charleston Southern and he went to Presbyterian. He was a blue. He was a member of the Blue Hose back in the day.
Okay, well, they're almost identical twins, actually. But anyway, just a curious question. I appreciate the answer.
Does all politicians look the same to you? I see how you working over there, Jeff. That's fine.
It is not the Tim Scott that played for Arkansas. I just looked him up.
No, well, considering that Tim, if there was a Tim Scott that played basketball at Arkansas.
There was for 2 years. He was junior college transfer.
What, in the 80s?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
They played ball here before you got here.
I know, but he said after the championship game, it's Sunday out of
the best 3-point shooter Arkansas ever had.
Sunday came in 95, Wally.
I'm talking about Tim could shoot it.
Well, he didn't come in 95. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Tim Scott. Love Tim Scott. But that was a random question. Not going to say it was bad. I'm certainly not going to say it was good, but it was random. There's no doubt about it. Good for him. You guys got anybody that's whacked out Wednesdays?
Nope. We got to take a time
out. Nobody?
10:32. Back in a sec.